We're on a really practical topic, the topic of how should a Christian view entertainment or leisure time or recreation. Tough issue, no doubt, but I think the Bible provides us, I know the Bible provides us with the principles that we need to make the right applications to our lives. Last week, we answered the question, or at least tried to answer the question from 2 Timothy 3, what is the underlying principle about recreation? And I suggested the underlying principle about entertainment is that if we are motivated by a self-focus in our recreation, then we will invariably go astray. But if our purpose is to love God more, then our recreation needs to help us to love God more. Our recreation must be an evidence that our heart is God-loving, not self-loving. So we have to be intentional about how we use our recreation time. We pretty much just glossed over two foundational questions that I wanted to come back today to tonight. And those two questions are, number one, what is entertainment or recreation? And two, is it valid for believers? So if it is valid, are there types of entertainment that are valid or not valid? And how do we balance that with the use of money, the use of time, the use of energy that's expended on recreation? So real practical, and I hope it'll be a challenge to you. First of all, the question, what is entertainment or recreation? Dr. Brian Hand has a helpful little book on it, which I'm getting some good help from. Called Upright Downtime, Making Wise Choices About Entertainment. Even the title is really catchy. Upright Downtime, Making Wise Choices About Entertainment. And I'm paraphrasing his definition, but he defines entertainment as filling idle time with activities that are geared or intended to provide pleasure or amusement. So in other words, it's not work, it's not worship time necessarily. It's time that I have free. What am I going to do with it? So I'm looking for something that's pleasurable, that's amusing, that's a diversion, something to fill idle or down time. What is it? Well, you can think of lots of examples, I'm sure, that would qualify as entertainment. What are some examples that you can think of that would fit that definition? Okay, so sports, whether it's playing basketball, football, hockey, golf, volleyball, skiing, hiking, hunting, primarily the purpose of those is for entertainment, right? I realize that there are some people that hunt to provide food, and I think that's the proper use of hunting. Realistically, it's mostly entertainment, right? It's mostly leisure time. It's not like if we don't go out and kill an elk that we're going to starve this winter. For most of us, that's not the reality. It's more entertainment, right? So sports. I would classify exercise under this, though I know exercise has some alternative purposes. I think legitimate purposes for entertainment, but exercising, working out, going to the gym, running, biking, swimming, those things I think we would have to classify as some form of recreation or leisure, though the pain that running causes me, I'm not sure it could be classified as amusing or diverting much of the time. But we could classify it as entertainment. How about attending sporting events, going to a Flames game, going to a Hitman game, going to a Stampeders game, going to a high school football game if you're in high school, going to cheer your team on? That's entertainment. It's not work. It's not homework. You're not required to do it. It's solely for the purpose of pleasure. You say, well, I'm not watching the game. I'm talking to people. Well, you're there for entertainment, whether you're watching the game or talking to friends. Both are forms of entertainment. How about watching sporting events on TV? The National Football League football season about on us. In a few weeks, you could probably watch something like 15 football games in a day as you flip back and forth from channel to channel. It's entertainment. It's amusement. It's diversion. Okay, so sports is a big one. Can you think of any other ones? Yeah, we don't usually think of this, but reading is entertainment for a lot of people. I'm not talking about reading for school, reading for work, for professional development, but free time to read. I like to read about history, so I'm going to get a novel. I don't have to read it, but it's entertaining for me. It's relaxing for me. Reading fiction, novel, magazine subscriptions, those would all be forms of entertainment, amusement, filling down time. Yes, exactly. Reading books or magazines. What else? Okay, so computer surfing the internet, that's entertainment, that's amusement, if it's not for work purposes. Social media, Facebooking, all those things, we'd have to say those are primarily geared for recreation, entertainment, diversion. Closely related to that, watching TV, movies, documentaries, unless it's for the purpose of work or professional development, it's entertainment. That's what it is. It's entertainment. It's a diversion. Anything else? Yeah, listening to music can be entertainment as well. Yeah, it sure can. So attending a concert, going to the symphony is entertainment. It's diversion. It's amusement. Going to plays. Going to a theater, and by theater I'm talking about a place where they put on plays. Although both types of theater would be amusement, would be entertainment. So even the more high cultural stuff, that's entertainment, right? That's entertainment. For some people that don't like the high culture, maybe it's going to the monster truck rally. Okay, forget the symphony, give me my blue jeans and let's go make some noise. Let's go breathe in some fumes. Well, that's entertainment, whether you like high culture or, I'm not going to say low culture, just... Different. That's right. That's right. Whatever floats your boat. All right. What other forms of entertainment are there? Sonia? Yeah, hobbies. So we don't really think about this, but for some people, woodworking is entertainment. I've got free time here, and so what do I want to do? I want to go build a dresser. Woodworking can be entertainment. For some people, taking care of their lawn is entertainment. You say, that's crazy. Well, they like it. That's my dad talks about how working in his garden is therapeutic for him. Weeding is not therapeutic for me, but it's therapeutic for him. Helps to relax. That's a form of entertainment or leisure. For some people, sewing is entertaining. The only thing entertaining about it would be if you were watching me sew, then you could have a lot of entertainment. I remember I took foods class in high school. Still a little bitter about it because the girls in my group made me wash dishes all the time. They didn't really trust me to bake stuff, except that was required. But I was friends with the home ec teacher, Miss Hansen. So one day after school, she helped me to sew a pocket protector. You know what a pocket protector is for putting all your pens in? I sewed a pocket protector for humorous purposes, but... Sewing can be entertainment. For some folks, shopping is entertainment. I mean, there's sometimes you have to go to Walmart, and there's other times people just go to the mall, not because they have to have anything, they just want to relax and not think about other things. James? Yeah, vacations are a form of entertainment. Yeah, absolutely, and we'll talk a little bit about vacations. Vacations are a form of entertainment. Anything else? Yeah, yard games, croquet, bocce ball, ping pong, table tennis. Some people in their house, they have what's called a recreation room. And what's in there? Foosball, air hockey, ping pong, board games. Board games are a form of entertainment recreation. Similar to that, Carson? Yep, TV. TV is a form of entertainment. Video games? Your iPad? Okay. Blake doesn't have an iPad, but he wants one. He's going to have to save his shekels for a while. But different forms of entertainment. Puzzles, computer games on the phone. All forms of entertainment. Let me see if we missed any. Talking on the phone to friends. Sarah? Okay. Going to the zoo, going to a museum, going to Callaway Park. All forms of entertainment, recreation, diversion. Okay. Yes, that can be how some people spend leisure time, talking on the phone, dating, if done inappropriately, can be nothing more than entertainment. Having a backyard barbecue with friends on a Friday night, that's entertainment, that's diversion, that's leisure. So all kinds of entertainment. All right, I think we've exhausted that pretty well, though you could come up with others. More important question tonight, is entertainment valid for believers? And I would suggest to you, yes, entertainment is biblically legitimate for believers within God-given parameters and within God-focused priorities. God-given parameters, God-focused priorities. Does the Scripture deal with entertainment? I would say yes and no. Okay? And I think I can demonstrate that from Scripture. One of the purposes of entertainment, one of the significant purposes of entertainment and leisure is to provide rest and refreshment. Do we see the concept of rest and refreshment in the Scripture? We sure do. Genesis chapter 2, God the Father rested after He'd created the earth, and the principle has not changed. We don't have to rest on Saturday. Saturday is not the Sabbath for us as New Covenant believers. By the way, Sunday is not technically a Sabbath either. It's just the day of Christ's resurrection where we choose to focus on worship. But it's not the equivalent of the Old Covenant Sabbath. But God the Father recognized the need to rest, not because He needed it, but He wanted to provide the pattern for us, that you guys are going to need to rest, so rest. And I'm showing you the pattern, the example. And really, folks, I don't think we can get around the fact that God expects us to rest one day out of seven. There are some guys who try and go on for weeks and weeks and weeks without resting, and that's not what God intended us to do. He intended us to rest one day out of seven. For many people, that's Sunday. For other people, it's not. But if it can be Sunday, then I think that's an ideal way to do it. Did Jesus understand the need to rest and to relax on occasion? He did. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Some of these verses, I'll show them to you. Others, I'll just mention. And my goal tonight is not to exposit these phrase by phrase, but to give them to you so that if you want to go back and do some further study on this, you can. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 13. It says, when Jesus heard about this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself, potentially for safety, potentially for a break from the crowds. Now, the crowds found him and didn't give him that rest. But we see on this occasion, and maybe some others in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where Jesus withdrew in order to rest. In order to rest. Now, let's think about the word recreation. We think of the word recreation as simply having fun, doing what pleases me. But the word has the idea recreate. Recreate what in us? Vitality and strength so that we can do what God has called us to do. Jesus wasn't trying to rest so that He could just have a good time. He was trying to get away from folks so that He could rest and get refreshed so that He could continue doing what God had called Him to do because there were heavy demands placed upon Him. We work a lot in North America, by and large. There are heavy demands placed on North Americans that aren't placed on a lot of people around the world. And there's certainly a balance that needs to be had. But we have heavy demands placed on us, nothing like what Jesus faced. But there are times, at least one day a week, where you need to get refreshed spiritually, physically, and emotionally. But what often happens in our recreation is that our recreation doesn't refresh, it doesn't recreate energy, it actually drains us. Because you have to get up so early or stay up so late or demand so much energy that you're actually not refreshed at all. You ever come off a day off and you think, man, I'm more tired at the end of the day than I was at the beginning? Well, if we're consistently doing that, we're missing the purpose of recreation and amusement. Another example that I think speaks to it is the wedding feast in John chapter 2. For us, think of the Andersons, they were probably wiped out after the recent events on a Saturday. But in Bible times, wedding feasts were much more geared towards celebration and enjoyment, what we would call leisure. Feasting and music and time with friends, sometimes going on for an entire week. The fact that Jesus participated in that, I think, gives us an indication that he was not against coming away from the regular activities of life to set aside significant time for enjoying time with other people, a form of recreation. I'm not trying to stretch that, but think about that. I think it's a valid point. So both God the Father and Jesus recognize the need for humans to rest from work. Second point that I think helps us to see that entertainment is biblically legitimate is that God created all kinds of pleasures for us as human beings to enjoy. I won't go back through all those references that we went through in Ecclesiastes during our study. How many times did it say, eat, drink, and be merry? Enjoy life with the woman that you love. Take pleasure. Rejoice in your youth. Time and time and time again, he was putting his stamp on some sort of amusement, recreation, and pleasure. Whether that be having a nice barbecue with friends, spending time with your wife, he put his stamp of approval on certain types of pleasure and amusement. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 speaks to it as well, where God says, in the context of giving money to rich people, he says, God has given us all things richly to enjoy. And he's speaking in the context of money. So, evidently, there's some sort of enjoyment that can be had by using the money that God gives it. And actually, God expects us to do that. Another reason that I think entertainment is biblically legitimate is because scriptural authors such as Paul allude to recreational events and don't criticize the event themselves. Can you think of any examples? Yeah, Paul likes the analogy of running the race. It seems that he was familiar with the Greek games, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 and following. And it's hard to believe that Paul would have used an example that was biblically illegitimate without correcting it. I mean, if he had come along and said, now run the race, and by the way, I'm not putting my stamp of approval on this. You see what I'm saying? It's not definitive either way, but it's just interesting that Paul would feel free to use the liberty. He also quotes poets, playwrights. Doesn't mean he agreed with everything that they said, but apparently, Paul considered poetry to be okay, certain types of secular writing to be okay. So, to me, I believe Paul would have criticized these activities if he felt that in and of themselves they were immoral. 1 Timothy 4:8, God commends exercise as having some value, a little value. It's not without value. It's not the same as godliness, godly discipline. But he does say it has some value. Here's one I hadn't really thought of. But what kind of things will characterize the millennium for the people of Israel? What kind of activities? When Israel is far from God, how does Scripture describe what's going on in Israel? There's not children playing in the streets. The music is silenced. There's nobody dancing for joy. But what's going to be occurring in the millennium? Children playing in the streets, singing, dancing, making music. And obviously there's a right kind of dancing and a wrong kind of dancing, so don't think I'm endorsing all dancing. But the point is that these amusement-type activities, God says, will be occurring in Israel when they're right with Him. So these are just some things to consider. I don't know whether it's convincing for you or not, but I think I think we can't swing the pendulum to the other extreme and say entertainment is illegitimate, because I personally believe the Bible teaches that entertainment in some forms, within God-given parameters, is biblically legitimate. So what are those God-given parameters? Anything that violates the character of God, in other words, His holiness, His righteousness, anything that violates God's holiness is out of bounds for my entertainment. Anything that violates God's holiness is out of bounds for my entertainment. Go to Romans. Actually, I'm not going to have you go to Romans chapter 12. I'll have you go to 2 Peter chapter 2. While you're turning to 2 Peter chapter 2, I'll mention Romans chapter 12, where it says, "Don't be conformed to the world." So any entertainment that conforms me to the world, we hear the word worldliness a lot. We preachers like to use it. Your parents probably like to use it. What does it mean? To be worldly is to imitate the sinful attitudes, actions, or behaviors, priorities of lost people. I think that's what worldliness is. In the Old Testament, it was often idolatry and sacrificing children to false gods. I would never do that. No, you probably wouldn't. But anything that imitates the ungodly thinking, priorities, and behaviors of lost people, God says that's worldliness, and He says that shouldn't be your entertainment. Sometimes, let's just take a case study on movies here. Sometimes believers might say something like, "Well, the language really bothers me, or the scene is bad, so I just fast forward it." But there in 2 Peter chapter 2, what does it tell us about righteous Lot? It tells us that he was vexed. Verse 7, he was vexed by the wicked, by the lifestyle of the wicked people of Sodom. But did that change Lot's choices? Just being vexed by something doesn't make it right, as long as you fast forward through the bad scenes. Or just being vexed by the profanity doesn't make it right for you to indulge in it for the purposes of entertainment. Yeah, you're going to hear some profanity. I used to go to the ball courts close to, well, it wasn't really close to our house, but it was about a 10-minute drive close to downtown South Carolina where I grew up. And I used to go to the ball courts, not because I was just needing a place to play ball, but I just needed a place to play ball. I could go to the gym on campus and avoid all that profanity. But I went there for redemptive purposes, to try and share the gospel with guys. And you say, "Yeah, you were hearing profanity." Yeah, that's true. And I wouldn't take my boys into that situation today. But me as a 24, 25-year-old, I felt that going there to share the gospel was worth the profanity that I heard. Now, if it had started having a toxic effect on my soul, it would have been different. But I wasn't going there for entertainment. I was going there for evangelization. Lot was vexed, but that didn't change his choices. There's a verse that maybe we should, at least, if not put on our computers or on our TVs, at least imprint it on our brain. Psalm 101, verse 3, where the psalmist says, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes." I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I cannot get entertainment out of that which violates God's holiness. Sometimes believers may be sincerely mistaken. They'll say something like this: "Well, I mean, just look at the Bible. The Bible's filled with all kinds of wickedness. You know, it talks about David's sin with Bathsheba. It talks about murders and all kinds of violence. You know, the Bible is so violent. So what's wrong with seeing it portrayed on the big screen?" Well, there's a problem. Because there's a huge difference between the Bible briefly describing sin generically versus me watching that depicted on the big screen. There's a huge difference. God knows how to present sin in such a way that it turns us against it. I don't have to watch it on TV to get horrified by it. All I need to do is read what God says, because He knows how to do it in a way that doesn't entice us to sin. But when we see sin depicted on the big screen, chances are it's not going to repulse us. It's usually going to attract us and entice us. So yeah, the Bible describes David's sin with Bathsheba, but it does it very discreetly. There's a difference between sin being briefly described in print versus sin being depicted on the big screen. You see the difference? It's a huge difference. And we can't trust Hollywood to know how to do that for us. I mean, even a lot of the so-called Christian films, have you noticed how many so-called Christian films or moral films there are now? Why? Because they realize there's this huge contingent of evangelicals in North America, whether they are all genuinely saved or not. That's the Lord's decision, not mine. He knows their hearts. But they realize that they'll sell. And so they try and take biblical themes or stories about morality, and sometimes Christians will justify, well, there's objectionable stuff in there, but it's done by Christians and they're trying to teach morals. I'm only doing it so I can teach my kids morals. You don't have to put it on the big screen to teach your kids morals. Just tell them what the Bible says. Think about the most explicit book in the Bible. What's the most explicit book in the Bible? Song of Solomon. And many, many Christian authors throughout the centuries have tried to not turn away and blushing with red cheeks and saying, well, it's just a picture of God's love in His church. Well, I respect the opinions of the Bible scholars that believe that, many of whom are smarter than me. That's not what Song of Solomon is about. Song of Solomon is about marital intimacy. But how does God describe it? What does He do in Song of Solomon? He describes it with what? Metaphors. Mount Gilead, spices, all these things. Why? To preserve the beauty and sanctity of it so that it doesn't get crass. God knows how to describe it. Hollywood doesn't. So even in describing the most explicit book of the Bible, God does it in such a way that is not a shameful thing. Preserves a lot of the mystery. So anything that violates God's character is out of bounds for my entertainment. Second, God-given parameter. And I'm hopefully going to have this for you on a handout next week. I know there's just a ton of information coming your way, so don't. I mean, you're welcome to take notes, but don't feel bad if your hand's about to fall off and you're not keeping up. Secondly, anything that hinders my growth in Christ-likeness is out of bounds for my entertainment. Anything that hinders my growth in Christ-likeness is out of bounds. 1 Peter 1:16, the Lord says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." Be like me, and if my entertainment is keeping me from being like Christ, even if it's legitimate, even if it's not an immoral thing, it's out of bounds for a believer. Go to the book of Proverbs, please. Proverbs. For another parameter that applies to our entertainment. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, in verse 9, Solomon says, "Fools make a mock of sin." Fools make a mock of sin, and consequently they're mocked by sin. But he says, "Fools make a mock of sin." Remember my dad describing one of the societies at school that was... When you came in, you join a society where you play sports with them and have society meetings and have activities together with other guys. And my dad described to me one thing that happened in another society, and this society was kind of known for being on the edge. This was a little bit before my time, but they had a chaplain named Mark, and I didn't know Mark. I knew who he was. But in their society meeting on Friday, some guys got up and were making fun of sin through a skit. They were making light of a particular lifestyle. And Mark was their chaplain. He was their elected chaplain. And from what I understand, as the story goes, Mark just stood up and said, "Fools make a mock of sin." And that was it. And the message was communicated. I mean, what guts to do that in front of 90, 100 guys some of whom don't love the Lord. So if my entertainment makes fun of sin, it's out of bounds. Now, I could get really specific here, but I probably don't need to if you just take the principle and put it to practice. Most of what's on TV at night violates this command, doesn't it? Why do most TV shows in the prime time make fun of sin? Because that's what depraved human beings want. So any entertainment that makes fun of sin is out of bounds. Another God-given parameter, anything that stimulates lustful desire in me is out of bounds. So this is why we can't just make a blanket rule, a blanket standard, and say, well, this movie is, okay? There are certain God-given parameters that disqualify many movies, and there are other movies that some believers can legitimately watch and other believers should not because it would stimulate lust in them. That's a small group. But anything that stimulates lust is out of bounds. Another God-given parameter. Anything that violates the principle of Philippians 4 is out of bounds. You probably know Philippians 4:8. Whatever things are beautiful, whatever things are lovely, of good report, he says, think on these things. That applies to our entertainment. Have you noticed the infatuation in our culture with darkness, vampires, all these things? Why are those off limits? They're off limits simply by this principle, the Philippians 4:8 beautiful principle. Darkness is not beautiful. And anything that glorifies darkness is not appropriate entertainment for a believer. Another God-given parameter. Anything that glorifies or highlights the mistreatment of another human being is out of bounds. Let me get really, really specific in the application, not because I know of anybody in here who watches it. Let me get really specific. The whole MMA fighting scene, what is that all about? That glorifies the mistreatment of another human being. And consequently, would have to be out of bounds for a believer, would it not? How about some of the reality TV shows that just are drawn to the depravity of families and individuals? Those are off limits for a believer. Anything that glorifies the mistreatment of another human being is off limits. Another God-given parameter. Anything that stimulates covetousness in my heart is out of bounds. I'm not going to make this a God-given rule because it's not a God-given rule, but I would just encourage you to consider, as you watch TV, totally turning the advertisements off for a couple reasons. One, there's a lot of garbage in there that is contrary to the character of God. And if you just walk out of the room to use the restroom during the advertisement, your poor kids are left there sitting, seeing all kinds of things that they shouldn't see or you shouldn't see. But another reason that you should consider it is that TV advertisements are intentional to stir covetousness in your heart, to stir discontent. You don't have the best mattress in the world. You owe it to yourself to have a better night's rest. And after our camping trip, I owe myself a better night's rest. All right? But you don't have the best dish soap, or you don't have the nicest car, or you don't have the kind of house that you deserve. It's geared to stir discontent. And maybe you can handle that. Great. But be on guard. Anything that stimulates covetousness or discontent in your heart is out of bounds for entertainment. Now, final God-given parameter. I'd like for you to go to 1 Corinthians 10. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23, here in the context of things that are biblically legitimate, he says there are some things that aren't best for other believers, and there are things that we could say by application, aren't best for me. He says, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. And in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, he says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Final God-given parameter that we'll note is that anything that dominates me is out of bounds for entertainment, even if it's okay. So some people get dominated by food. And food is not only legitimate, it's necessary for life. And so you'll particularly have to be on guard that gluttony doesn't begin to dominate you. Addictions, dominated by particular things, sometimes things that aren't necessarily bad in and of themselves. Anything that dominates me, that comes to master me as a believer, is off limits for me, becomes off limits for me. And you say, how would I decide that? Because that's going to differ from person to person. Exactly. Every person has to take 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Corinthians 10 so seriously that every believer is willing to apply that in their lives, even if it makes them look like a fool in the eyes of their friends. And somebody says, well, how could you be mastered by that? I don't know. I'm a sinner, and I've got to choose the right thing, because you can handle it. Fantastic. Have at it. But it dominated me. So you may need to regulate your internet. You may need to regulate how much you spend on a particular hobby. You definitely need to regulate that for your kids while they're moral compasses are getting more and more lined up with God's Word to help to guide them. How does that work? You don't have to do it exactly as we do it, but in our household, we try to set aside Saturday afternoons for our kids to watch a video and some time on Friday afternoon for them to play some sort of video or computer game. And there will be other occasions where, well, they'll get special treats, you know, if we're counseling or something like that. But we're trying to teach our kids that entertainment is not inappropriate as long as it's within God-given parameters and God-given priorities. So those are some of the God-given parameters, and you could probably come up with more God-given priorities. Well, we're out of time for tonight. So the two-part series is going to become a three-part series, it looks like, because I think you'll probably learn more if we come back to it next Sunday night. Just a couple of announcements before you go. The shower for Dinah is this Saturday. It's been rescheduled for Saturday at 2 p.m. at Sonia's house, so we hope you can make it for that. See, we have another kids' club outreach coming up in September. If you'd like to help with that, please express your interest to me. We have two cards on the back table. One is for the Monotel family, for Jeff and Jenny. Jenny was having some tests done today where they were making her faint, and she's supposed to see the specialist on Tuesday, so let's continue to pray for the Monotel family. If you'd like to fill out a card for them, I know that would be appreciated. And the other card is for Daniel Popola. Daniel is still in the children's hospital, struggling quite a bit. John did tell me that his platelet count is going up now, so we can continue to pray for that. But that other card is for the Papalas. You may have gotten an email last night regarding the Papalas. They've requested not to have a baby shower from the church, but we still want to do something to show our love to them. And I mentioned in the email it would be a Babies R Us gift card. Had a couple suggestions. Just do something more general that's not so specific. So we may give them, you know, the Superstore or Walmart, or just give them the cash or something. But if you'd like to give to that project to show our love to John and Nitha, then you can give that money to Angela or Lisa, and that'll get to the Papalas. All right, I think that's all I have tonight. Let's pray and ask for God's help. Lord, we thank you for what you're teaching us and for how you're growing us. You tell us to be holy like you're holy, and that's not something that we'll ever see as a reality but it's something you want us to keep pressing towards. Thank you that in heaven we'll be like you, not in the extent of your holiness, but we will be made free from sin's presence, and we're looking forward to that day. But till that day, Lord, it's going to be a battle. So help us not to lose heart in the battle, not be weary in well-doing, but to analyze our entertainment and leisure choices to see that they fall within God-given parameters. Not so that we can pat ourselves in the back or look good for other people, but because we really want to be like you, Lord. Make that our heart's desire. We pray in Jesus' name.